Well, how many of you are glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight? Amen. This physical house, of course, you know, we are the temple of the living God. He lives in us. So in one sense, we are the house of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. I just saw a few, I don't know, just to give you a few highlights. You know, one of the things that I'm so honored to do is to work with our international campuses around the world. You know, Rhema Bible Church is the mother church of all those campuses and all those things. And there in Brazil, they just celebrated their 30th graduation of their in Campina Grande at their headquarters. Amen. Same in Samoa, 30 years in Samoa. There in, praise the Lord, in the South Pacific. And you know, this year graduation in May will be our 49th, and it's hard just to believe what God has done. You know, 40 years ago, at this time 40 years ago, I was here at Rhema as a student, a first year student, 21 years old, and came straight here from college and working there as an education major, and just the call of God and the word of God is so impressed upon me that I ended up leaving after my junior year to come here. I basically only had an elective and student teaching left to earn my education degree, but I knew that this calling to teach was a higher calling than that for me, not for everybody. You know, for some people, the calling to teach in this school system is a high calling. How many of you know that? We need men and women of God in all those positions. But this is what God had for me, and I thank God. I look back over that. You know, 40 years is a long time to look back. Some of you haven't even got to 40 years yet. That's all right. God bless you. Amen. I see some of these students. I don't know what they're laughing about. I'm not the Ancient of Days. I do know him. But I'm not the Ancient of Days. Glory to God. Hallelujah. If you got your Bible, would you turn over to Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk chapter 2. Just start at Matthew and start going back, all right, in the Old Testament. First of all, you get to the Italian prophet Malachi, then Zechariah, Haggai, Zephaniah, and Habakkuk. Yeah, some of you will get that. You don't. Anyway. I want to read this in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse number 4. It says, "Behold, his soul, which is lifted up, is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." The just. Now, the prideful, you know, gets lifted up, and we think we do things in and of ourselves. And, you know, even we have to be careful in the life of faith and believing God that we don't ever think it's our faith that's doing anything. Our faith just receives what God's grace has already provided. Your faith could do nothing if God's grace hasn't already provided it. Ephesians 2:8 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith." Let's don't get that mixed up. It's the grace of God. The best example to me was I remember growing up both my grandparents' house, they had apple trees in the backyard, and I can remember, you know, going out there and going out and picking an apple off of the tree and eating it. I didn't grow the apple. I didn't have anything to do with the apple, but it was there. But I did have to reach up and take hold of it. Guess what? I wasn't going to eat an apple off the tree unless I reached up and took hold of it. That's what faith does. The tree provided the apple, but my part was to reach up and take hold of it. Then not only take hold of it, but to enjoy it. Amen. Go to Romans chapter 1. The just, those who are right with God. And thank God through what Jesus has done, he's made a way for us to be the righteousness of God in him, right? He's made the way. Not because of who I am, not because of what I have done. And am I the righteousness of God, or are you the righteousness of God? But it's what God has done. Now here in Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17, it says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is," it what? The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I want to stop there for a moment because I can't read that verse without remembering what Mr. Schofield said in his notes on the Bible concerning the word salvation. Said the Hebrew and Greek words for salvation and saved draw together all the redemptive acts of God. Everything that God accomplished through Jesus Christ. It includes salvation, but it also includes healing and preservation and safety and deliverance. Glory to God. For the gospel is the power of God today. It has not lost any of its power. In fact, as the world gets darker, the gospel gets more powerful. As the world gets darker and darker and further and further away from God, the light of the gospel shines brighter and brighter. Amen? It is the power of God. And we don't ever need to be ashamed of it. You don't ever need to duck your head in shame to stand up for what the Word of God has to say. Don't ever let the devil use any one or any circumstance to cause you to back off of the Word of God. Now, you don't have to be mean about it. Love is kind. Remember? Patient and kind. I know some people that are, some folks bless their hearts, and I've been there. You know, I've been trying to be patient, but I'm not too kind about it. Don't look at me like that. Hey, amen, we've all been there. And really, we weren't being patient, we were just putting up with it. There's a difference. Patient means I'm the same no matter what happens. And I'm kind about it. You'll never find a faith person that's unkind. You can call yourself a faith person, but if you're unkind, you're not a faith person. You're a meanie. Amen. Because you know why? Faith works by love, and love is kind. So I can't be a faith person to be mean to people. Got to be kind to people. Now I know, I think God says you're going to be kind, and then he gives us all kinds of opportunities to be kind. Right? Especially when you're driving, especially this time of the year. When people who either have lost their mind or never had one are out there on the roads. And you wonder, it's like one time I was driving in East Africa there in Kenya. We were driving on the road from Kisumu up to Kakamega. And at that time, now they've done a lot of work on it now, but it was a windy two-lane road, you know, up on the mountain. If you got to the edge, you could look straight down a mountainside. I mean, it was that kind of road. Well, this one driver, I don't know what he was doing, but my driver pulled up next to him. And, of course, they drive on the left side, the wrong side, we call the wrong side of the road there, right? But he's on the left side, and he pulls up next to him, rolls down my window, looks at the driver, and looks at him and says, and says to him, what he said was, "License wapi," which in Swahili means, "Where did you get your license?" Because I've wanted to use that so many times. Just roll up next to somebody, roll my window, and go, "License wapi!" But, amen. I also learned how to say, "Get away from here or I'll hurt you." Atoka hapa nita kupiga. That comes in handy sometimes. Anyway, I wanted to say that to people. But kindness, glory to God. Now look at verse 17. For therein, in that gospel, in the gospel message, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now I like here, I want to read you something from Thayer's. This is from Thayer's definition. Thayer is a Greek scholar, and he gives some definitions for this word, life. Because I want you to notice here that this word life, it comes from Zoe. It's actually Zoa, Z-O-A is the English spelling of the word. It does not mean to exist. You know, some folks get the life of God in eternal life is different than eternal existence. You know, the spirit of a man is going to exist forever, either eternally with God or eternally separated from God. And so this kind of life here, it's not to exist. And I think so much of the time, you know, and we as Christians, based on what Jesus has done for us, are not to just exist through life. This is not just an existence until one day, thank God, we go to heaven. Right? This is not something of that. This is, he says this in Thayer's definition. And right as I did that, I made it go away as I moved my, hang on just a second here. It means this. This word life means to enjoy real life. For the just shall enjoy real life through faith. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. I've come that you might, one translation says, I've come that you might have and enjoy life. You know, I've thought of it this way many times, and I've told this to people. You know, if you're not enjoying, if you're not having fun being a Christian, you're not doing it right. Amen. Jesus came that we might have and enjoy life. It means to have an active life, a blessed life, and an endless life in the kingdom of God. I like that. An active life. Active in faith. For the just shall have an active life in faith. The just shall have a blessed life in faith. That's why it's so important that we understand what faith is. Now, I think we need to watch so we don't fall into the trap of just breaking faith down into a bunch of definitions and rules. Faith is the basis of our relationship. By grace are you saved through faith. Faith is what brought us into that relationship with God. And we maintain our relationship with God through faith. But you know, I know some folks, bless their hearts, and trying to help people and that. And then sometimes people try to find something new to say about something. I've just found this out, you know. I got to get to be consistent with what I know before I really need to move on to something new. How many found that out? But in trying to find out, you know, more about and preach sermons and put out books, the 48 steps to the highest faith. 48? How many of you aren't walking up 10 steps? I mean, come on now. You know, you go upstairs to the children's thing, and you start thinking, where's the elevator? Right? There's not even 48 steps to the highest faith. I think you've overanalyzed it. I know with me, the more simply I can state something, the more I understand it. Amen. Now look at Galatians chapter 3. This is a repeated theme in the New Testament, that the just shall live by faith. Now, I want you to notice this also. It says live by faith, not necessarily have events of faith. You know, sometimes you can go someplace for an event, but that doesn't mean you live there. Right? But how many of you have a place that you live? We're to live by faith. Live and enjoy life there and enjoy the blessedness of what Jesus has done. Galatians 3:11 says, but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Now here's the second time this is quoted out of what Habakkuk said. Second time it's quoted here, this is Paul again speaking. The just shall live by faith. If you've heard Pastor Craig talk about faith, and he's doing that a lot these days, one of the things he mentions is that he looked it up in a Webster's dictionary, and one of the definitions in the New Collegiate Dictionary he looked it up in was unquestioning belief or unquestioned belief. You see, if I'm questioning it, I'm not in faith. Right? You know, I think about it. Here recently, I saw somebody posted on Facebook. They had gone to the title company and they had signed the papers, and they held up the papers and they declared themselves to be homeowners. All they had was the title deed. You know, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. The Amplified said it's the title deed of that which you do not see. That paper is not the house. But because it's signed, your word's given, their word's given, it's yours. Amen. Have you ever filled out something and asked you, are you a homeowner? Do you rent? Do you lease? Whatever. Amen. I don't care how many, I mean, you may not have made your first payment yet. If you got the title deed, you are a homeowner. And we say that, I own my own home. Well, in a sense, right? You own it. But notice how we declare it. We declare before the house is ever paid off, I own the home. I'm a homeowner. Why? Because we have faith in what's being done through that process. Well, how much more can we trust God? How much more than can those who have been put in a right relationship with God through the blood of Jesus Christ, justified by his blood, declared righteous with God by his blood, have faith in that same God? Look at Hebrews chapter 10. Live by faith. Live by faith. Here in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38 says this. Hebrews 10:38. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul has no pleasure in him. I like it goes on to say, but we are not of those that draw back, but we are those that keep believing. The just shall live by faith. And again, not have events, but live every moment by faith. Every moment of our Christian life here on the earth is by faith. I mean, there's a lot of things that we as Christians can all agree. I mean, for the most part, I should say that. Well, at least here, all of us in this room would probably agree that we believe that one day Jesus is going to do just like he said, he's going to come back. Right? We believe that heaven is our home. Okay? We have faith in the redemptive work of Jesus, in the shed blood of Jesus. That we can become the child of God. Shall live by our faith. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Now this is something, you know, Brother Hagin used to tell people to keep the switch of faith turned on. Well, I would say the same thing to us. Nowhere are we told not to have faith. So we should always have the switch of faith turned on. Always believing. Now, you know, you don't always get a faith-filled report, do you? The world's definitely not going to give you reason to have faith. The world system, when I say the world, I'm talking about the world system. That Satan, the devil, is the little g god of this world system. How many of you know it's going away from God? It genders fear, not faith. Fear operates just like faith, though. You believe it in your heart and say it with your mouth. It works just the same. You know, what if we became so consumed by faith the way people get consumed by fear? You think about when people get afraid, that's all they think about. That's all that they go over and over and over and over and over and over and over in their mind. What if you got so thrilled with God's word? That's all you thought about. That's all you could think about. Glory to God. The healing power of God working in my body. Oh, it's working. Glory to God. Driving out every sickness and every disease. There's no virus. There's no sickness. There's no this. There's no that can live in my body because the life of God is in me. I mean, just thinking that way and believing that. Say, well, you're living in a fantasy world. No, I'm living by faith. Amen? See, faith calls the things that be not as though they were. Even if you can't see it, even if you can't feel it. Now listen, those things are not just to sing in songs and get happy about. It's to live by. You may not see it, you may not feel it, but God's word says it's true, and so I'm going to declare it. Amen? Let's just declare what God's word has to say about the situation. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, for we walk by faith, not by sight. Now, some of you might have a translation there with you that says we live by faith. word walk here means the same thing. We live by faith, not by sight. Woo. That's what I've had people tell me. And I've had people tell me, well, you just live in a fantasy world. You've lost your mind over the Bible. Thank you for noticing. I'm continually trying to lose my natural mind and get the mind of Christ operating. Amen. I mean, you watch Jesus walk on this earth. Well, that was Jesus. Well, the same life that's in him's in me. He said the Father has life in himself. He's given the Son to have life in himself. He said, if you believe on me, you'll have that same life. And he's in us. So I've got the life of God in me just the way Jesus had the life of God in him. Now listen, I didn't say I was Jesus. I'm not the Christ. I'm not the Messiah. Neither are you. We don't need two. One was enough and is enough. But we are to carry out his work on the earth. And we've got that very life on the inside of us. And so, you know, if you're thinking living by faith is living in a fantasy world, I'm here to tell you the faith realm is more real than this natural realm. Because faith is based on the unchanging God's word, who cannot lie. With him, there's no shadow of turning, no variableness with God. You can take him at his word. Now, I know some people today, people don't like absolutes these days. They don't like absolutes. But I'm telling you, the Bible is an absolute document. It is absolutely the Word of God. You've come too late to argue with me about whether or not this is God's Word. I've already seen too much of it happen right in front of my eyes. Amen. The Word of God is true. This is God's Word. It is inspired by God. Hallelujah. Well, it was just written by men. That's even more of a miracle. That over the course of 1,500 years, these 40 writers wrote a book and it flows together. That's more of a miracle than you saying it's not, that it's just written by men. Yes, that's miraculous. That's like, you know, and I had that college professor that said that the Red Sea was only ankle deep during the time that the children of Israel went over it. I was too young and dumb, didn't know the Word of God well enough at that time. I'd just gotten saved in between my freshman and sophomore year in college. And so I didn't really know enough. I'd love to take that class again and have him say that, because I'd start shouting right in the middle of his class. Because God drowned the chariots, the horses, and the soldiers of Egypt in ankle deep water. Woo, glory to God. Amen. Amen. Now, I don't know if, you know, some of those movies show whales. I don't know if there was whales and all, but it was enough to drown people in. Let's put it that way. All right? Glory to God. For we walk, we live by faith, not by sight. Now, Hebrews 11:6, let's turn over there. I'm not going to get through all this tonight, but that's all right. We're going to get through what we need to tonight. Hallelujah. I'll never forget in February 15th, I think it was, wasn't it, Amanda? We moved 14th. We moved on Valentine's Day? Wow. I am a helpless romantic, you can tell. We moved here in February of 2000. And, you know, and just became part of church, going to Pastor Bill's school, the Married 30 class. There is no beginning, there is no end to that class now. Anyway, you know, but going to that class and being part of men, members of the church, kids going, you know, showing up every Sunday before 9 o'clock, kids going, spending 3 hours in the children's ministry, and just, you know, being a part of the church. And I was amazed at that time, at some of the things that, you know, how short the messages were that Pastor preached. Because that was the only time I ever came here was for conferences, you know. And, you know, Brother Hagin was not a pastor. He was a teacher and a prophet. And so he'd teach 2 hours sometimes. But Pastor Hagin, and, you know, I'm just, you know, kind of getting in. All of a sudden he said, okay, well, let's all stand. I'm like, then it kept happening all the time. He broke me of long sermonizing. over all these years now. So I don't care. When it gets time, we just stop, unhitch, and go on. Amen? I said all that so you could find Hebrews 11:6. You're familiar with this. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The Weymouth New Testament says this, but where there is no faith, it is impossible truly to please him. For the man who draws near to God must believe that there is a God and that he proves himself a rewarder of those who earnestly try to find him. See, I come to God believing that he is my answer, that he is the supplier of what I have need of. And I come to God believing that he will give me, reward me with what I come to him for. I come to God for that. See, faith, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, it doesn't mean God doesn't love you. There's a difference between living a life pleasing to God and being loved by God. Because God loves everyone, whether they're living for him or not. Amen? And he's good, he's kind and good to the just and the unjust. He makes the rain to fall on everybody. The sun comes up. You know God created he created this planet so the oxygen is there for us to breathe. It's just not for the Christians, right? Everybody gets to breathe the oxygen. Everybody gets to take part in the sun. You know, the sun and all the different things that take place. Glory to God. He's a good God. Let's end with this tonight. Romans chapter 14, verse 23. Romans 14, 23. The last part of the verse in the King James says, for whatever is not of faith is sin. But I want to read this from the Amplified Classic. But the man who has doubts, misgivings, and uneasy conscience about eating, talking about eating meat offered to idols, and then eats, perhaps because of you, stands condemned before God because he's not true to his convictions and he does not act from faith. For whatever does not originate and proceed from faith is sin. Whatever is done without a conviction of its approval by God is sinful. Now that tells me something there. In order to live by faith and to be pleasing to God, I need to know what God's will is concerning this. Right? I need to know what God's will is. Now one of the things that's going to help us in this is, of course, to spend time in God's word and then begin to use our own mouth and speak out God's word concerning the situation that we're in. Now, how many of you know the Bible says, my God shall supply all of your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. So what do you do when you come up in front of a need? Oh, I just don't know how. You start talking that way of doubt and unbelief and questioning how. It's not up to me how God does it. Right? It's just up to me to believe God is going to meet this need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. And you know, the same thing in that same chapter, right before that, verse 13, it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, living by faith, faith people never, never, ever, ever, ever say, I can't do it. Unless it's saying I can't do something that's wrong, sin. Amen. We got to get rid of that language. And I'm not talking about mind science here and positive thinking and all that type of stuff that does away with God's word. I'm talking about speaking in line with God's word. You parents in here, make sure you are always talking success and confidence and kindness over your children. Don't speak doubt and unbelief over them. Don't tell them they're dumb and stupid and can't do things. Amen. I know I've dealt with adults who are still living under the effect of a teacher or a parent or someone telling them how horrible they were, or they were this or they were that, and they're still living under that, and you have to break the power of that because they built up years and years of thinking that's who. No, no, no. Tell them who the Bible says they are. Amen? There's a World War I veteran who became kind of famous. And before he was famous as a soldier, he was just you could use the term, he was a hellion. Anything that had to do with hell, he was doing it on the earth. Just mean as all get out. Get drunk and just shoot up everything. Just horrible. Well, his mother was a Christian, though. And they came to her and said, well, what do you think about him? She sat there and looked, you know. And it was after a certain incident where he had shot out something, you know, destroyed something when he was drunk. And she just thought about it for a minute. And she goes, pretty good shooting for a drunk. Later on in life, he said, I never heard my mother say a negative word to me about me. Never. Never. See, the just shall live by faith. That's part of living by faith. Don't think you're going to speak to a mountain and make it move if you're using your tongue to pull other people down and to put other people down, even putting yourself down. This is not something we just pull out. We live this way. All right? And that's another part of this sermon we don't have time to get to. Let's all stand up together. Praise the Lord. Nothing brand new about this tonight, but putting our hearts, stirring up our hearts and pure minds of remembrance. Glory to God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's lift our hands and thank God for his word. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you, Father, for the precious, mighty Holy Ghost who teaches us and guides us and leads us into all the truth. Father, we thank you tonight. We honor you tonight. Father, if there be anybody in here that needs to know you, that I pray that they'd not know you. They'd not leave here tonight before they come to a knowing relationship with you. Father, they have a know-so experience. If there are those here tonight that have known you, but maybe life has gotten them down, they've taken some wrong turns, made some wrong decisions. Every one of us in here could say the same thing at times. And they want to come back tonight, and they want to just restore their commitment. You've never not been committed to them, but they want to restore their commitment tonight and come back into that sweet fellowship with you. Father, I pray that they would not leave here tonight before they do that. If you're here tonight and you need to know Jesus, or you need to come back and get that relationship set right again on your behalf, not on his, just in a moment here, we're going to dismiss the service, and I want you to come on down. Men, come to the men. Ladies, to the ladies. If you have any other need for prayer, hallelujah, they're here for you to pray with you according to the word of God, because that's what's going to produce the answers. God's holy word. Amen. And when we pray in line with God's word, we can fully have faith that what God said in his word will become true in our life. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father, once again, hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Father. Just begin to pray in the spirit. It seems like there's something else here before we go. Thank you, Father. Oh, my bandi kidede bundi de kidede da bandi kishichede. Oh, shikide de manane kishichede kitaya. Donde de kishichade kidede de meme. Aju gudne de manane shikede. Asia gudunda bashinde kishinde. Da, praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Praise you, Father. Ha ha. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Yes, 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 yes. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. You know, there's sometimes in faith, there's a corporateness of faith. Just right now, there's just a corporateness of believing God in here. And it's not that God has come down and he's already here with us, in us. He never leaves us nor forsake us. But Jesus did say, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of you. He's in our midst right now. And just like that apple that you have to reach up and receive. If you have something you need in your life right now, just by an act of faith, a symbolic act of faith, just reach up and receive and say, Father, I thank you. I take my healing now. I take that need being met right now. Father, I thank you that bill is paid right now in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for that vehicle that I need in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you for that living situation. I thank you for that job situation being taken care of. I thank you, Father, in Jesus. I reach up and take hold of that what belongs to me. And I'm going to enjoy life and live a blessed and active life by faith in you, Lord God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. It's by faith. It's by faith that the mountain moves. It's by faith that the winding road is straightened. It's by faith that the valley's leveled up. It's by faith. Hallelujah. Not some mystical, magical spell or wand, but by simply declaring and believing what God's word says about each and every situation. By faith, we have the victory. Amen. If you need prayer tonight, come on down here. Men to the men, ladies to the ladies. We're so glad that you're here. Don't forget what Pastor Bill said about going and driving out there. Make sure you're paying good attention. Hey, I'd turn my lights, turn them on in your car so you can see those little ones that are running across the road. Amen. Praise the Lord. And we'll see you back on Wednesday night, Hour of Power. God bless you.